Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. It is NFL Draft Day, but there's a ton going on other than that that we'll get to on today's show. Max Starks will be with us. Good to catch up with Max Starks, NFL Draft Talk. Get into that with Max coming up at about 10:20. He's also been training Christian Westerman and some other players, too, on the offensive front. So the Cardinals have the 29th pick today, and they don't have a second-round pick as it sits right now. As we go through the day today, whether it's on this show or as the day progresses, I think there'll be more and more conversation about whether or not they should sit at 29, trade up at 29, trade back. I'm always of the opinion that you trade back unless there is that one player that you look at and say, you know what, let's go get him. Let's be honest here. The Cardinals do have assets. The Cardinals have assets. They traded one of them away in the second round pick. But I do believe that when you're in a position that they're in, on a couple of fronts, first, they need a quarterback to replace Carson Palmer at some point. So you have to take that into consideration and say to yourself, is this the year that they go get the quarterback? Or, because they already look ahead. If you don't think they look ahead at 2017, that's not how this works. They look ahead as to who's going to be in the draft next year. This may not be the year that we address putting a new sofa in our living room because it may go on sale in September or next year, but this is the year that we're going to paint our house. You know what I'm saying? That's how it is with NFL teams. They don't all go out. It's that way with all sports teams. The really good teams are very strategic. They go about their planning. They use their assets when they know that they need something done. New England made their asset known when they took Chandler Jones, an already established player in his prime, and said, you're not going to make it here because we don't know where your number is going to be in a couple of seasons, and we need help on the offensive front, and we can get a little bit more in return. So what do we have? We have the Cardinals making the deal to bring him here. Cardinals said, yeah, we got Jonathan Cooper, but we have DJ Humphreys. We feel comfortable enough in him. We can make that deal happen. The Cardinals' assets as we sit here right now are at wide receiver. There's been plenty of conversation about Michael Floyd. And I'm one of those that I am impressed some games and other games. It's where is he? For a player of that magnitude, a first round pick, it should never be where is he? And if you're the Cardinals and you're looking at positions that you need to go improve yourself upon, they've already shown that later in the draft with John Brown, Jerron Brown, among others, that they can find players. They may not be quite where Michael Floyd is in terms of a number one pick. But if you decide that you want to move a player, I'm for that. And I would not be against the Cardinals trading up, and using that 29th pick and a player, just as they did back in March. If they decide that the right player at that position, it may be they look at centers for years to come. We'll hear from Steve Keim about this a little later in the show. Maybe that later in the next few years, there's other centers that are coming along, but this is the best center prospect in years and years, perhaps from the Cardinals' point of view. Does that make sense? So when you look at their secondary, for instance, the cornerback position opposite of Patrick Peterson has been a point of concern. They can say all they want, well, we have Justin Bethel here, and we saw what happened late in the season. Well, we can go out and we can get a free agent. That hasn't quite worked out. So I'm all for them trading up tonight if indeed they look at their board and say, this is the best guy, not only this year, but next year as well, or maybe even the year after that. If you have that prospect, if Ryan Kelly is truly the best center, not just this year, but maybe in the last 5 years to come along, why would you not trade up into the late teens if that's what you had to do in order to get him? Yes, it's going to require parting with more than just the 29th pick. If you look at next year's draft and say, well, you know, next year's draft's really not that good, we could move up this year and push in that position of need, and we'd be pretty well set across the offensive front because we put so many assets into it through free agencies, through drafting. We finally spent money at a position, at a space rather, on the football field, a group that has been severely undermanned, unkept. I think unkept is the best way to put it. During the Rod Graves era, how many times did you see stories on television or read articles from Kent Summers or Bob McManaman or whomever that talked about the Cardinals once again did not take an offensive lineman in the first round, the second round, or third round? Go back. It was many years. Many, many, many years. So when we were in the position before Steve took over, and what's the first thing Steve Keim did? Basically, the first thing he did is he went right after the offensive line. Valdir, Cooper. Cooper gets turned into Chandler Jones on the defensive side. DJ Humphreys, Evan Mathis is now on board. They had to bring back Lyle Sendlein last year at the center spot. So all of that to say, if you leave something, I'll go back to the house analogy. If you don't take care of your house, or if you don't take care of your body, let's even go further than that. If you don't take care of your body, you kind of let yourself go for years and years and years and years and years, and you're going to start having problems a little bit later on. You got to address it. And the Cardinals have not addressed their offense, or didn't address their offensive line for years. It would be really smart, I think, on one hand to say, we've put so much emphasis into our offensive line. Great teams have great offensive linemen. I'd be fine with that. But the other side of me says, if you decide to sit at 29 and go with the best player available analogy, that's the safe way to go. And it may well be that a player falls to you. And the thing you're going to hear tonight, no matter what, is we couldn't believe he was there at number 29. It's already done. It's already scripted. It doesn't even need to be on a note card. We couldn't believe he was there at number 29. They're not going to say, wow, our board got blown up and we can't believe we got stuck with this. That will never happen. And yet, if you look at the draft year after year after year, how many guys just blow up and don't turn into anything? It's a lot of fun tonight. Don't get me wrong. I'm not taking away the fun. I'm one of those that tonight, I don't get all wound up with the anticipation as the commissioner walks the podium. I think journalism should be just that, journalism. So if it's live tweeted out 4 minutes before the pick, as happens through the years, I think it's Jason LaConfora and Albert Breer and those guys, and now that Albert's leaving over to the MMQB, maybe he'll have more freedom and flexibility. Both ESPN and the NFL Network have agreed that they're not going to tip picks because they don't want to ruin your experience tonight. It's journalism. It's Twitter. It's here 4 minutes ahead of time, not after the commercial break. I get it. They're doing business and they're driving ratings, but I would just like good old-fashioned journalism. That's all. I don't need to have it made for TV. So we've got more on the quarterbacks I'm going to get to a little bit later on in the show. The Diamondbacks last night blew a 3-1 lead. Adam Wainwright gets a 3-run triple. And this is Patrick Corbin, I think, has been the Diamondbacks' best pitcher, consistent pitcher so far in this first month of the season. Not that they've been great by any stretch of the imagination. Greinke's had a good spot start here or there. The San Francisco start by Greinke last week was really good. But I'm watching last night, and it's batting practice. It's coming down to one play, one misplay here, one misplayed ball there, and then a couple of walks, a couple of this, a couple of that, and before you know it, we're in trouble. I think we have a picture of Patrick Corbin. There he is. And last night was not good. They get pounded 11-4. So blowing a lead is more of a concern to me. They've lost 2 of 3 to the Cardinals. De La Rosa's on the mound today. Jared's in today. Is it just me, or is Chase turned into like this Coors Field South so far this year? It can't be the pitchers being that bad.
That's
right?
What we talked about, and I don't remember. You know, it's always been a hitter's ballpark, but I don't remember being like this. And we've discussed how the Diamondbacks pitchers have struggled, but it's also been the pitchers coming to Chase Field until Carlos Martinez threw that gem the other night against Shelby Miller. The Diamondbacks had a streak of 4 straight games of 7 or more runs, a couple of those in the double digits. So everything is going bad for the pitchers in all regards so far at Chase Field. It's only been Carlos Martinez that's been able to solve it. But it's been nuts. They need to close those panels, and they need to close the roof, and they need to...
What are you talking about?
They need to just... They can't help. You can't help, you know?
Are you... Have you been nipping on the cooking, Sherry? What are you talking about closing the panels and closing? You're like, you're trying
that
to
helps.
Control the atmosphere. Fans like to see 11-4 games. The problem is the team that scored 11 wasn't the home team.
Fans also like to see wins. And any help that you can be to your team that is not pitching well.
I don't think so far, Jared, unless I'm wrong here, that the location of the baseballs had as much to do with the panels and the roof being open other than they were just big fat pitches they cranked out.
And that pitch that Corbin threw to Wainwright was very head-scratching because that looked like a BP pitch. It was a changeup, and it was center cut. And he just laced it for a triple. A guy that's coming off a ruptured Achilles tendon last year and missed almost all year runs for a three-bagger and drives in three runs. That was about as low of a moment as the Diamondbacks have had all season.
Yeah, it's not been a good start. And they haven't played well at home.
Like, I don't think it's been a bad start.
I think it's been a great start. You think this has been a good start?
I wouldn't say it was a great start, but it hasn't been a bad start. I think that
500?
No one wants 500. But if you look at this lineup, they're hitting and you're getting production despite Goldschmidt not putting up great numbers. They're basically putting a Band-Aid over the fact that A.J. Pollock isn't in the lineup anymore, but Jake Lamb is playing great. Yosmani Tomas had a little dry spell, but he's been fantastic.
At the plate.
At the plate.
In the field, they're not good.
But,
in the outfield.
But there's room for improvement.
Sure.
There's room for improvement. So if you look at what's transpired so far and say it's a bad start, I wouldn't go there. But
really?
is it an electric, fantastic, meeting the expectations of the start of the season start? Not quite yet, but you can see where there's room for improvement. But the outfield is a huge issue, and I like what they did last night putting David Peralta in center
yes,
field.
Yes, I agree with you on that. All right. You don't think this is a bad start?
I don't think it's
a
bad start.
Is this a big start for De La Rosa today?
I think it is, and I think
a little done with him.
If he got shelled against Pittsburgh last weekend, I think he would have been moved to the bullpen. I think he had just been too bad. But the fact that he pitched pretty well in that game, it made him see another day. But if he gets shelled again by the Cardinals, the way the Cardinals are hitting this series, I don't think he stays in the rotation. He's not been good.
And you follow their minor league program. You've done a lot on them. They've already brought Archie up here, and he wasn't good.
You know,
for the one start. So,
and they've got more guys. We're wondering when the Braden Shipley train will begin.
Yeah.
Although he got beat up pretty good his last start. In fact, we're going to be introducing a new and improved D-backs on deck on the site later today.
Oh, really?
It's a good segue. We changed it. Myself and Arvind, we did some work.
So let me ask you this. And one other thing, then we'll get out of here because we've got Max coming up. Are you hearing the same stuff and getting the same stuff I'm getting about how's Dansby Swanson working out and when the next Derek Jeter's doing his thing and we're stuck here with Shelby Miller? Are you getting that? I'm getting that sent to me.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah. I wasn't a fan of the trade, so I'm saying it to myself because Shelby Miller, until last season where he put together an all-star year, was not good with the Cardinals, and he was once their top prospect. It's hard to watch when you see Shelby Miller pitching like he is to think that the number one overall pick is somewhere else. But, you know, if you wanted to win now, I get the trade. And I wouldn't jump ship on Shelby Miller just yet.
Right.
But I am getting that. And it's hard when you see him publicized and you see top 10 prospect Dansby Swanson and you see Aaron Blair making his MLB debut, albeit that wasn't very good for Atlanta. But guys that were key pieces in that trade are being talked about quite a bit in Atlanta.
All right. We'll take a break here. Max Starks is on the other side. We'll talk with Max, former NFLer, Super Bowl champ, about he's been training Christian Westerman. I found a picture of myself at Channel 3 interviewing Christian. It was interesting. This is when he was at Hamilton High School, and he had just gotten a letter from Nick Saban. This was like 6 years ago. Man, he was thin, and I was thin too. So it was really disgusting on my part. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Of course, the NFL draft is tonight. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. Last night, a good show with Peter King and Todd Graham. And, of course, that runs three times a week over on Fox Sports Arizona. Let's turn our attention now to the draft. Max Starks is with us. Former Cardinal, NFL lineman, two-time Super Bowl champ. Most importantly, he's a Gator. What I found in guys from Florida is it doesn't matter if it's Calais Campbell having to tell me how great Miami is, and I'm thinking, are you watching 30 for 30s because they haven't been good anytime recently? Or if it's Florida State guys, you know, when Dockett was here, he would tell me how great FSU was. And I'm thinking, okay, this was in the day and age of Bobby Bowden. So Max is with us. This is the first time we've had Max on. I've heard Max on the air. Max is good. Where are you at on Gators? Are you one of these guys that's going to tell me how great Florida is going to do tonight, Max, in the draft or this weekend? Or
Looking at the Florida crop of guys, I think we will have a solid showing, but I'm not expecting, you know, a first-round burners. I mean, you look at Bernard Hargraves, an obvious first-round draft pick. You look at Jonathan Bullard, who should be a solid second-day pick at the D-tackle position. And then after that, you've got it up in the air from that point forward with a couple of receivers and a couple of other guys. You know, you got a tight end, Jake Reed, who's also going to be in there, probably a third-day pick. So we're not the mighty Gators of old, but we'll still have some classic representation in the draft.
Come on, I'll help you out on this one, Max. This was a rebuilding year. This was a retooling year. This is a coach making up for all the previous mess. So you're going to be fine. Next year, you'll have more than FSU and Miami combined, right? That's the mindset of Gator Nation.
No doubt. We don't want to tap the well too much, though. We don't want to have such a great year that a lot of underclassmen leave,
right?
Because we still have the ultimate goal of getting back into the college football playoff. But I think there are some seniors coming up that should have some good years for a while to come. But I'm looking at our sophomores that got a lot of playing time last year, rising to be juniors, and the freshmen who are going to be sophomores who are going to be key contributors for the Gators in this upcoming season. So I just want them to steady their horses and make sure they stay in school and keep those grades up and don't think too far ahead into their future.
Talking with Max Starks. Okay, so the draft is tonight. Ryan Kelly is a name that's all around the Arizona Cardinals. Everywhere that I've read, every analyst that I've seen says that this is the best center prospect this year and maybe in the last few years. What do you see out of Ryan Kelly?
Well, you know, I think the reason why you look at a Ryan Kelly is because it's so glaring, the center talent, and he's so head and shoulders above the rest of the field that it makes it an obvious choice. I like Ryan Kelly. I think he's very intelligent, a smart guy. He's grit. He's tough. And he's an individual that I think can flourish in the right system. He is, a little bit, questionable in his pass protection. But I think if you put him in between two quality guards, such as Evan Mathis and Mikey Potty, I think it kind of lessens that that glaring error. But the thing is, I like Ryan Kelly, but I just don't think he's going to be available. I think there's other teams in front of the Cardinals
Sure.
that have that need as well, that I think he'll be taken before that because he's such head and shoulders above the rest of the competition at the center position.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think Washington is a team clearly that needs help at center, and they needed help at corner. They went and got Josh Gordon, and now maybe they go that direction. And there's some other teams I think could move up as well. Does Nick Martin at Notre Dame do much for you?
Nick Martin, I like Nick Martin. I like his versatility. I think, obviously having a brother in Zach Martin to show that you see what Zach Martin can do, and you're like, well, this is his brother. He's been tutored under him. And, he's a guy that's probably going to struggle a little bit at the beginning, but he's going to figure it out. And he has the athleticism to do that. And he has the versatility to play all three interior positions. I think that's a big thing when you look at when you're drafting. You want position flexibility so that if there is a guy that's already there, like an A.Q. Shipley, mm-hmm. who can start out the season, or a Taylor Boggs who's on the roster, and then as he kind of gets into that field, he's a six-man swing guy early on to get a feel for the speed of the game and get used to the system that Bruce Arians runs, and then kind of work his way in, I think that would be a great fill for them. So I think you have those two options available. But for me personally, I don't think they should go offensive line in the first round.
So, on that note, last year DJ Humphreys basically was a scholarship year for him at the NFL level to learn. Did you see or have you heard enough about DJ Humphreys with the big move of Jonathan Cooper being included in the Chandler Jones deal to agree with that move that he is ready to step in at that spot?
Well, one of the things looking at just the way I got a chance to spend a lot of time with him this offseason in training, mm-hmm. and I think he's going to have his bumps and bruises along the way because he is, a lighter tackle. But I think he has that kind of tenacity, and he has a skill set, a natural skill set, to be able to get in there and fight athletically, and especially what he's done in this offseason. So I think it's a prime move, and he's a first round pick. And you know, at this point, it's year two, and he hadn't donned a uniform in a regular season. So I think you have to put him out there, and you know, you have to kind of throw him in the fire and see what happens. But I think he's going to fare okay. I think he'll be solid, especially being at that right tackle position. Bruce Arians knows how to help those tackles out when they need help. You know, putting a tight end there for body presence, putting a back coming off the edge, whether it's chip or body presence as well, and creating a quick game that also gives the tackle a chance to catch up to the scheme of the game. So I think he's going to be okay at that right tackle position.
It's really amazing, Max, how much resource the Cardinals have put into their offensive line here just in the last couple of years, through draft, through free agency, financially, after years and years of neglect. I used the terminology earlier, the comparison rather, of a house that has just been left in disrepair out front, but they've got it put together all inside. But if you don't have your line together, you're not going to have success. And to see first round picks and money and contracts that they've put into this, another first round pick tonight, if in fact they were to even trade up to get Ryan Kelly, that's an awful lot that Steve Keim has put into one position. But I think it's been necessary because they didn't pay attention to it for so many years.
It has been a neglected position over the years by the Cardinals. But I think that's the thing. You have poured so many resources and so much attention has been paid to it in the last couple years that I think it would be a waste of a pick to now go after another first-round offensive lineman because, I mean, like you've already alluded to, DJ Humphries, Jonathan Cooper, then you put in, you know, another higher-round pick in Earl Watford, and you look at the production those guys have had up to this point, and it's like, I'm not seeing it. And especially when you do have some needs where you could bolster your defense, you can bolster your pass rush in this first round. You can go out there and get somebody to shore up that secondary because you're not sure about what it's going to look like going into training camp. So I think there are some other needs that I think should be attended to because you have been paying such special attention to the offensive line. I think you do have to go outside of that this year in the first round.
Talking with Max Starks. Before I let you go, you've worked with Christian Westerman, and I did pieces on Christian when he was in high school over at Hamilton High, and then when he went to Auburn, came back, know his dad well, seen him, Big Chris, and have seen Christian grow through the years. Where do you see him fitting in the draft? Is he a day two, a day three guy? Where do you see him?
Yeah, I see Christian as a solid day two guy. When you look at just his body work and what he can provide, I think Christian is that guy that's going to be a solid day two pick because he's not your ideal size, which, I mean, honestly, I don't know what the ideal is. I mean, you know, a look test versus playing skill are two different things.
Right.
I think Christian has the ability to be a very good guard in this league. He has the base tool set, and he's continually looking to work and get better. And I think that's the biggest thing. A guy's desire to get better and not think that I have it all put together and I'm walking into the league and, you know, I'm already game ready day one. I mean, there are some guys who that, but everybody has to keep on working, and he's always looking for different ways to make himself better. He's always self-evaluating himself, seeing where can he be more efficient in his pass protection, even in the steps that he takes to get to a cutoff angle on the backside. I think those are all the things that you look at, and that's what you want in a pro and a guy who shows that he has a higher ceiling, that he hasn't tapped himself out. He's already a strong kid. He's already very flexible. So I think he has those natural tools going in, and it's only going to accentuate as he continues to grow within the NFL. And he's already started at the right place. I mean, he's trained at O-line performance, and he's had the right tutelage to get ready for the NFL. I think that's what's going to help him sustain is his desire to want to get better.
You're great on the air, man. I've heard you before, but it's really good to talk to you about it. Sounds like that this has worked into something that could be much bigger than even where you are right now.
Yeah, I hope so. This is the field I enjoy. I enjoy having these type of conversations and talking about, especially young guys, especially around this time of year, draft. I know how important it is, having gone through it, and just the joy that not only his family and his friends are going to go through, but that he's going to have. He's going to actually have this relief off his shoulders and really know what direction his future is going to go, you know, starting hopefully before Saturday. And he'll start preparing for that. And And, you know, and looking at all the other guys, I mean, this is a long road from that last bowl game to you get to your first potential NFL preseason game. And a lot of work and a lot of dedication and sacrifice has gone through this process. So I'm just excited about it. And I can't wait for the draft to start this evening.
Stay well, Max. Thanks for the visit.
All right. You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Max Starks are with us. Former Cardinal NFL lineman, two-time Super Bowl champ, Florida Gator guy. The Raiders in Vegas. We've got to get into that here on the other side. We'll hear from Steve Keim on the other side to move down or not move down as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sismat, Football AZ, is tomorrow night. We're not going to go head-to-head with a draft. It's tomorrow night, Friday night, following the Diamond, before and after the Diamondbacks game, and Saturday as well. Stay with us. So the first pick will be Goff. Wentz will go second. The Chargers will trade down. That's my top three. Ramsey will go to the Cowboys. I would love it if the Cardinals did get a quarterback tonight high. They're not, I mean, come on. I'm not talking about the first round high unless they decided to really move up and go after Paxton Lynch. Here's the thing. I think Paxton Lynch will go somewhere in the top 12. If he gets past New Orleans, I'd be surprised by that. A team like the Cardinals that needs to eventually find the replacement for Carson Palmer. The thing is, if the Cardinals were to go after Paxton Lynch, what that says to Carson Palmer is, I'm not going to be here next year or the year after. I might be, but probably not. And I'm going to be in a quarterback battle this season. So I don't see that happening. I don't think the Cardinals are at that spot yet. This is not Sam Bradford we're talking about. Like, Sam Bradford, shut up. Come on, just deal with it. Be a pro. You've made gobs of money by being beyond mediocre. So because the Eagles trade up, you're going to go pout in a corner and want out. Just, am I supposed to understand where Sam Bradford is coming from? Sam Bradford is the reason why the Rams are picking first. Sam Bradford is the reason why the Eagles are picking second. It's not that hard. You know, it really isn't. So, if the Cardinals were to trade up and get Paxton Lynch, we would immediately have a, how much longer is Carson Palmer going to be the quarterback of the Cardinals? That's why it doesn't make any sense to me. Unless Steve Keim and Bruce Arians in those closed doors and the staff looked at each other and said, we got to accelerate this process, or the quarterback class next year, we're not going to have a shot at Watson. I heard Watson is taking, was it 18 units this spring, like just sending a message real strong and hard. I am in class. I am not going to be here next year. I'm going to do everything I can do for Clemson, and that's that. It's very impressive. So you look at the quarterbacks of next year, or if you trade back, if you manage to find a guy, if you find Christian Hackenberg is not going to unseat Carson Palmer. If you trade up, you are then saying, we're putting all these assets into the now. If you stay pat, you're saying, yeah, we hope that this is our guy. You know, the 29th pick, if they spend it on a quarterback this year, are we going to have a quarterback controversy? Are we going to have people calling up saying, why aren't they playing this guy? To me, that doesn't make sense. But yet I'm getting a lot of questions about that. Well, what do you think, Brad? Should they take Christian Hackenberg? It doesn't mean that taking Connor Cook or Christian Hackenberg is going to mean success. Think of first-round quarterbacks, just if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, okay? If you're just a Cleveland Browns fan, you've had to go through Brady Quinn, Brandon Whedon, and Johnny Manziel. You talk about just complete crap in the bed, missing out entirely. If you're a team in the bottom half of the second round, you've taken guys like Quincy Carter and Kellen Clemens, and Chad Henne, and Jimmy Clausen, and Kyle Bowler, and Josh Freeman, and Marcus Tuiasosopo. These are second-round picks. Jimmy Garoppolo. So tell me, is it a sure thing? We saw it here with Logan Thomas. Okay, that was a fourth-round pick. Drew Stanton is sitting here at $6.5 million over the next couple of seasons. It's a pretty hefty investment on the Cardinals' part to say this is our insurance policy. But is he the long-term answer here? We have a team like the Denver Broncos who tonight might trade for Colin Kaepernick. That's because there is such a lack of quarterbacking within the league. And the Cardinals found their way into Carson Palmer through suckering the Raiders. I've said that many times. And can you sucker other teams that are out there? If you're drafting a quarterback between the round, between the spots of 30 and 45, there's a really good story on Pro Football Focus about this, and then ESPN.com followed up on it as well, and it bears note. If you're drafting a quarterback between the picks 30 to 45, you're looking at Derek Carr, Andy Dalton, Colin Kaepernick, Drew Brees, Geno Smith. Now, Geno Smith is still a maybe, but I think he's closer to being there than some of these other guys that were taken in the bottom half of the second round. So that's right in the wheelhouse where the Cardinals are picking. Again, 30 to 45. They're sitting there at 29. They say, we can trade back four spots and we can get our guy. So there is this like drop off, this little cliff that you jump off. If you don't grab one there, then what's going to happen a year from now, it's going to be even more pronounced, unless there's that free agent that comes through. Or if the Cardinals are just saying, look, we truly believe if Carson went down that Drew Stanton can get us to where we need to go. And I would question that. I really would. And Carson or Christian Hackenberg, people are all over the roadmap on him. Like there's some that really, some quarterback guys that really like him, some that are just, he can't play dead, can't play. Connor Cook, it seems like there's more of a feeling that he can get the job done. So it takes us back to whether the Cardinals should trade up or trade back. Steve Keim talked about that earlier in leading up to today's draft about whether trading back is truly a good idea or not. Okay, so if you're going to trade back, if there's a team that's behind you that says, we want to trade up, then you start looking at who are the teams that have multiple picks. And Cleveland and Tennessee are two of those teams. We've talked about that on the show quite a bit, that if you're going to trade down, just going for a team that is five slots behind you or 10 slots behind you, and they do not have multiple picks, it's much harder to do it. You start diving into their draft for the following season. You come up on a team that has multiple picks this year, behind you. And those are teams that you would say, okay, Tennessee, let's see if we can work something out. We'll move out of 29 and we'll move back down to, it's 33 in the early 40s. I want to say it's like 42 or 43 and 45, something like that. So you could grab two of those picks, parlay it into two very good players, but it's got to be the right trade partner. Difficult to do. Trading up, on the other hand, the Cardinals, I believe, since they've already burned their second-round pick on the Chandler Jones deal, and I was in favor of that, you've got to include a player. Michael Floyd has been somebody that's been talked about. It all sounds well and good. Do I think Michael Floyd has turned out to be a great first-round draft pick? No. Has he turned out to be a good football player? Yes. Do I think the team could survive without him? Yes, I do. I do. So that's been a name that's been kicked around. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. Again, when you come out of tonight and if they trade back, you shouldn't be like, oh man, they traded back. No, they've already landed a premier pass rush guy in Chandler Jones this year. You have to look at their second round pick as that. If they trade back, I think it would be a smart move on their part. If they trade up, they're going to have to subtract something else from this year's roster, this past year's roster, I should say. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Got a bunch to get to on James Harden after this timeout in the NBA playoffs. That's next. I didn't get into the Raiders thing. So the Raiders in Vegas, and then I've got some NBA and other stuff. Satellite camp ban was just rescinded by the NCAA. NCAA is just hard to figure these guys out. I was at a luncheon this last week where some of the Arizona State Athletic Department officials were, and they were talking about how you could give a student athlete bagel, but if you put peanut butter or cream cheese on the bagel, it shot over the limit that they would be allowed. So they had to overturn that, and they worked through that. That's just how dumb they are. So they do a satellite camp ban about a month ago. Oh, no, we're going to ban it. And then a month later, well, no, now we're not going to ban it. Figure it out, guys. All right, Raiders in Vegas, no problems with it. They're going to use Vegas as leverage, just like LA is in leverage, just so they can get a shiny new stadium in Oakland. If they go to, if they do decide to go to Vegas, I don't worry about gamblers sinking their hooks into players. You know, if you don't think gamblers can sink their hooks into players in Cincinnati or Atlanta or New York or wherever we are in this day and age, then you're kidding yourselves. It'd be great. But you know, the NFL is going to use other cities as leverage. Forever it was L.A., and it could still be L.A. I think the league is using L.A. as leverage on the San Diego case. You can come to L.A. and be the second team out there. The NBA, so James Harden just can't play defense, and he shot a ton last night. And I am going to get on James a little bit here, because Golden State just mowed right through Houston, even without Steph Curry. And in a winner-go-home game, the Rockets just looked, A, disinterested. B, was James just trying to do too much? Can James Harden go out and recruit Kevin Durant to come to Houston this offseason? I don't think so. It's just disappointing to see how that's turned out for him. On the other side of the street, we mentioned Klay Thompson on the last night's show that if Steph Curry is not there for 2 full weeks, then this is the time for Klay Thompson to show what he's all about. And he did. He was really good. Really, really good. 7 of 11, three-point country. And so the Warriors win. They move on. Very intriguing next round of playoff games. OKC in San Antonio. And likely the Portland Trail Blazers and Golden State. If you had the Clippers being eliminated in the first round, you were the only one. This was before Chris Paul went down, before Blake Griffin went down. Last night, we said yesterday on the show, Jamal Crawford was going to shoot himself right out of the gym and his team too. 6 of 23. Knock yourself out, Jamal. And the Clippers got run over by Portland. So Portland is one win away. Terry Stotts, you could have made the case that Terry Stotts should have been coach of the year over Steve Kerr. You really could have. His roster, if you look at the Blazers roster and the job that Terry Stotts did at Portland, you know, CJ McCollum at 27, but this is Damian Lillard's time to really show what he's all about. He's a very good player. In fact, I think he's one of the better guards, one of the top few, three, four guard point guards in the league, but he's in Portland. So, and the Blazers are getting it done without LaMarcus Aldridge, I might add. It was a good win there. And I don't care about the Hornets, even though they won. They're up in that series 3-2. Don't care about that. Jared came running in during the break because you are Mr. U of A.
I knew that was going to happen.
You are Mr. U of A.
I was just telling you about news that came down the pipe, you know?
Next Tuesday, when Greg Byrne is here in studio, are you going to wear your red pants and blue shirt?
To match him, yes.
To match him.
So we can be buddy-buddy. Because he has great wardrobe.
Yeah.
It's a great wardrobe.
You're already sucking up to him, and it's Thursday. Are we going to put the U of A helmet, like, in the middle of the couch? Do you want to do the interview with him for the TV show?
Yeah, sure.
You wear the red and blue?
I'll wear the helmet. I'll pull a Jake
Plummer. Oh, hey, roll tape on that Jared Cohen. Jared Nielsen, I should say. You got it? You got that clip? I'll wear the helmet? We can bring that back. Careful what you wish for, my brother.
It's a good-looking helmet.
What are you going to say? The ASU helmet's not good?
Actually, I like their helmet. I think, you know, it's actually pretty cool.
The thing is, when Jared came on board here on day one, he had this just little U of A thing going, but he's managed to get himself out of it to now he can walk on campus at Arizona State. And there were some people over at ASU that were nitwits, too, about this whole thing. Oh, you're a U of A guy.
There were.
This is silly.
I remember someone called me out in the middle of one of those media scrums. I won't name any names.
Was it a coach?
No, it was a fellow member of the media.
Oh, okay.
And we're getting ready to talk to, I think it was Todd Graham, or it was around the time Taylor Kelly was announced. And someone called me out in front of everyone. All of a sudden, everyone's like looking down on me. Like, I'm just here doing my job.
Wow.
It's not like I'm wearing a shirt. It's not like I'm cheering. It's not like I'm bagging on the program. I'm here to do my job.
Okay, so when Greg Byrne is here, if I get you an ASU shirt to wear on Tuesday.
Well, that would mean I'm favoring one shirt over one team over another. I don't wear U of A shirts around here.
You sure about that?
When's the last time you saw me wear a U of A shirt?
Well, I don't have
the
calendar in front of me.
I'm just telling you.
It's fine.
I make a point to not wear them when I'm working.
No, it's kind of fun, I think. It's not like I have any place I can brag about. What, I'm going to wear my Palomar College shirt?
That would be a sweet shirt to wear, actually.
Tom Luganbill and I can compare our Palomar Comet shirts.
Embrace it.
Have the logo going.
That's pretty
rock
cool.
Rock the mighty Comets. No, but there's some news involving U of A. You and I were talking about this yesterday, and something just happened during the break. I will let you handle this.
Okay, yeah. So U of A announced they're going to be playing in that really neat Armed Forces Classic that they play on the Air Force Base in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, cool.
They're going to be playing against Michigan State on November 11th, and they're saying that it's going to open up their season. Kansas and Indiana will be there as well. So that'll be cool. They also are playing Gonzaga at the Staples Center. That was announced yesterday. That's a little rivalry that's being formed on the West Coast. These teams are playing
every
year.
Good teams.
Two really good teams. Yeah. Two of the cream of the crop on the West Coast the last few years. So it's neat to see that they're continuing that and not shying away from each other like, you know, other teams on the West Coast seem to be doing. And then
who
finally,
are you referring to?
I'm not going to name names there either.
Are you talking about Arizona State?
No.
Their schedule's better.
It's getting better. It was better than U of A's last year.
Grand Canyon's schedule is better than U of A's.
Well, Grand Canyon needs to have a better schedule than
yes,
U of A and ASU.
That's true.
Because they don't play in the postseason.
That's
so if
true.
they want to put themselves on the map, and they don't have the luxury to do that in the postseason, they need to do it during their pre-WAC season.
So when Louisville comes to GCU this year, which they are.
I'm going to have a front row seat.
And San Diego State comes to GCU this year, which they are. And GCU goes to U of A, which they are. GCU should be playing ASU. That's just Michael Crow's just got to get over himself.
That's
on
kind
that.
Of what I was hinting towards.
He's
there,
just got to get over himself on that. Come on. Come on. This is... If you're losing market share and online enrollment, then just win basketball games.
Yep.
And I think Bobby's going to.
And Bobby Hurley also given an extension while we were at.
Bobby's been given an extension of
according
a year
to Doug
in?
Howler of AZ Central Sports, he announced that Hurley's been given an extension.
Wow. Okay.
Speaking of ASU.
All right.
And then U of A is going to be playing in Vegas as well. Yeah. In the preseason.
That's quite enough Pac-12. U of A on draft day. It's quite enough.
And Scooby Wright. How about Scooby?
Yeah, I got you. I got
two
you.
Two-star Scoob.
All right. There you go. This is what I have to deal with every day.
It's not that bad.
It's TCU talk during football season.
And baseball season, apparently. I'm putting D-backs on deck together, and Eric wants to just know about Alex Young.
Oh,
he's like, tell me about Alex Young. I don't care about anyone else.
People in our thanks for coming on. People in our space, at this space, they take like days off to go see, especially Eric. Eric's just, he's off today. I don't know if he's hoping for Trevor Boykin or what, if he's got his jersey on. I don't know this. Tonight, we will be out at the NFL draft. Jordan Hamm and Eric. Jared is going to be looking at the draft, I'm sure. I'm going to be watching, writing about the draft as well. We'll be tweeting on our social media platforms. And then we have the Brad Sussmat Football AZ show tomorrow night. We'll be back at it with you again tomorrow. Thanks for being with us.